In your Bible, please, Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And this morning, our attention will be at verse 29. We have previously, in the last several weeks, been looking at the faith of Moses. Now, verse 29, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds, as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Once again, our attention goes back to that time of the Lord's delivering His people out of slavery. So in your Bible, turn back to Exodus chapter 13. It has come to that time that the Lord has delivered, as He promised, the nation out of the slavery that they were under in Egypt. He has delivered them mightily. He has worked wonders, miracles, signs. Ultimately, His wrath has been poured out by the taking of the firstborn throughout the land of Egypt, except for those under the provision of protection, the shed blood. The shed blood of the Lamb. The only place to be protected from the wrath of God. As the nation now is leaving, Pharaoh's heart has been hardened, but now they leave. And as they leave, God has told them that they will remember this day of deliverance. It will be that which they are to celebrate as the birth of a nation. They are now a great number of people, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. People of promise, a place that God has uniquely for them, a people that belong to Him, a people that will prosper under His hand, a people who will have a posterity that will be a blessing to all peoples. The promised one will come through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the anointed, the Christ, the Messiah. In remembering this deliverance, they are to set aside unto the Lord the firstborn. He took the firstborn in Egypt. He now has instructed this nation to set aside, as they have been delivered and are now moving toward the land of promise, to set aside the firstborn cattle and their own children, set aside, set them apart unto the Lord. And in verse 16, and it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with His mighty hand. Setting apart the firstborn now is as a sign of God's powerful deliverance. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Sea of Reeds, or the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. The God who has delivered is now directing them. He is directing them in a very specific way. He is guiding them. He will also guard them, because in this journey now toward the promised land, they will need His protection. They will need him to defend them. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By the day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, to guide them on their way by the day, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. The God who has delivered is now directing. The God who has, in fact, graciously brought them out will guide them to that place of promise. He will guide each step of the way. Chapter 14, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp there, directly opposite Baal Ziphon. Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. The purpose for which God has called out a people unto himself is that he alone might receive the glory. That was true as he brought the nation of Israel out, and it is true of everyone called unto God by saving faith. Paul writes in his letter to the church at Ephesus that we have been placed in Christ Jesus. Great expression in the book of Ephesians. The most significant expression in all of the scriptures. In Christ Jesus. We have been placed in Christ Jesus for a purpose. To be. To the praise of his glory. That's the only reason he has called us out. It is the only reason he is guiding us through our pilgrimage with him, that we might be a people to the praise of his glory. We do that by faith. We trust the one who has delivered us to direct us. We trust the one who has delivered us to defend us. He is our guide through this life. He is the one who guards us through this life. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariots made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. Special services are now leading an attack on Israel. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pihahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. If this cry were a cry of faith, it would have been a cry for courage. But notice the kind of cry that it is. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to this desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." A cry of complaint, not a cry for courage. Are you prone to complain? When we find ourselves, as Israel now finds itself, in dire circumstance, we often cry unto the Lord. A cry of faith is a cry for courage to accomplish the purpose for which God has us in that circumstance. To be to the praise of His glory. A cry of unbelief is a cry of complaint. Woe is me. Always looking around and being overwhelmed by what we see. That is not a cry of faith. Israel is complaining. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27. Wait, I say, again on the Lord. Look at Psalm 46. Turn over to Psalm 46. And I'm reading from verse 7. "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Moses says to the people, "Wait. Be still and behold the deliverance of the Lord. You've already experienced it. He now is guiding you and He is guarding you. You can trust Him. Be still. Faith is patient. Faith learns to wait. But faith is not passive. Notice back in Exodus chapter 14. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. I remember a long time ago in a little cartoon in the paper. And it was about a diner with a person in the diner and the owner. And there was a sign over the owner's head that said, after you've prayed, get off of your knees and hustle. Now that's sort of what is happening here. Faith is patient, but it isn't passive. Many believe that in order to be a person that is waiting on the Lord, it means paralysis, not to be doing. And many pride themselves on waiting and waiting and waiting. Paul said, I have not yet obtained to the perfection that I know is mine in Christ Jesus. But this one thing I do. Forgetting what was behind, I press on to the goal, to the high calling that is mine in Christ Jesus. And Isaiah, come over to Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, and I'm reading from chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? And they were crying out to the Lord, but they were crying out in complaint. Now God says to Moses, the crying's over. Moses obviously was crying out to the Lord for courage. And now the Lord says, tell the people to get off of their knees and hustle. Get going. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and he is understanding. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust, hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The God who has graciously delivered now a nation of people unto Himself is directing them to the promised land. As He directs, He also defends. They now look and they're being pursued. The circumstances seem dire. They complain. But God says through Moses, you need courage. Wait. Behold. Go. Raise your staff, verse 16. Stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God, who has been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. He is the God of infinite power. He can be trusted to care for us. He is guiding. He is guarding. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all the night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. In the morning watch, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of the chariots to be jammed so that they were difficult. They had difficulty driving. The Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." His purpose for calling a people unto Himself is that we might be to the praise of His glory. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing from it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord delivered, saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people revered, feared the Lord, and put their trust in Him and in Moses, his servants. I remember, I told you before I knew Christ as Savior, what I knew about the Bible, I learned through film. Old Cecil B., he did a great job, didn't he? With the wall of water on the one side and on the other, and the people of Israel going through on the dry land. But of course, it was after trusting Christ that I learned my Bible, not by film, but by faith. But there was a little boy, young boy. He was in Sunday school. He was, like I was as a kid, sent to Sunday school, so his parents didn't go with him. He came home one Sunday after being in Sunday school. And his mother asked him, "Johnny, what did you learn today in Sunday school?" He said, "Well, we learned about the people of God being delivered through the Red Sea." "Well, that's wonderful, Johnny. What did you learn about that? What did they teach you?" "Well, it seems that Moses was leading the people, but the Egyptian army was in hot pursuit. And they came to a big sea. And so Moses enlisted the sea bees to build pontoon bridges. And they were very good at it, and they did it very quickly, so that in an evening, the pontoon bridge was built, and they were able to be saved across the sea. But while they were going, the Egyptians pursued over the pontoon bridges as well. And so Moses got on his walkie-talkie. And he called in the Israeli Air Force. And they came in their F-15s, and they not only strafed the Egyptians on the pontoon bridge, but they bombed the bridge, and they destroyed it, and all the Egyptians died. And his mother said, "Johnny, are you sure that's what they told you in Sunday school?" He says, "Well, Mom, not exactly, but if I told you what they told me, you wouldn't believe it." The God who delivered Israel directed them and defended them. The God who guides his people, guards them. And he, almighty, powerful God, can do what only he can do to deliver. Well, all the days of their wandering, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night was there to guide and to guard. In Psalm 27, Psalm of David, we read these words: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The one who delivers, the God of grace, guides, and he guards. "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, They will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Psalm 32. I'm reading from verse 6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. That's why Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and more intense prayer, supplications, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. Call out to him, not in complaint, but in courage, in faith. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You see, a heart of faith is a heart of thanks. To look around, to be overwhelmed by the circumstances, is a heart of unbelief. It complains. A heart of faith cries out for courage and is grateful. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace will give you that peace. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. It's a peace to guard, to garrison your hearts and your minds, your innermost being. That mind that so often wants to go the way of the world. That heart, it is a heart so often that trembles by faith. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God and the God alone. Will give you a peace that transcends understanding, that will guard, garrison your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, it is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth, like the utmost heights of Zaphon, is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. Verse 14, for this God, who has shown himself to be a fortress. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Psalm 78. I'm reading at verse 40. Referencing Israel in their disobedience. In their crybaby attitude, how often they rebelled against me, verse 40, in the desert, and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again, they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day he redeemed them from the oppressor. The day he displayed his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan. He turned their rivers to blood. They could not drink from their streams. He sent swarms of flies that devoured them and frogs that devastated them. He gave their crops to the grasshopper, their produce to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore figs with sleet. He gave over their cattle to the hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. He unleashed against them his hot anger, his wrath, indignation, and hostility, a band of destroying angels. He prepared a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave them over to the plague. This is what he did for these complaining people. He struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, the first fruits of manhood in the tents of Ham. But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the desert. He guided them safely, so they were unafraid. But the sea engulfed their enemies. It's recorded for us in John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, that Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. Verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks, the flock is scattered. Man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The trials come. There is no one that can provide what God alone can provide. What the Good Shepherd, who gave his life for the sheep, alone can provide. I am the Good Shepherd. I know intimately my sheep, and my sheep know me intimately. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this flock. I must bring them also. He came unto his own, they rejected him, the Jew, but to as many as received him, the Gentile. To them he gave the right, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I have other sheep that are not of this flock. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Years ago, I was visiting the hospital. Ants has an aunt. Philadelphia, we call them ants. If you're in the South, you call them aunts. Her father was in the hospital, up in years, and he was dying. And I went to visit him. And I spent some time with him. And I shared with him John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd giving his life for the sheep. and how a relationship of intimacy that will never be separated takes place when one believes on Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Well, Aunt Floss's father passed within a day or two of my visit. And I was speaking to her about his passing. And she said he went very peacefully. The only thing is that the nurses mentioned that the medication that he was on made him delusional. Because all he kept referencing in those last hours was that he was a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy, loving kindness, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Lord, for being a God that delivers, a God who directs, a God who defends. Graciously, you guide us. Graciously, you guard us. Who is like unto our God? To him alone belongs all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.